Hi everyone, welcome. This is Roland, and today I want to talk about depression. I think it needs to be talked about. I want to talk about it from a spiritual perspective. And I want to read to you a little tiny Bible verse. And here it is. It's from 1 Peter. And he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." A living hope. So I want to talk about depression in terms of a lack of hope. Being depressed is basically a derivative or an extension, or let's call it a manifestation, of faithlessness. And with faith also comes hope. They go together. And hope actually is a very necessary thing. Animals don't need hope. A bunny rabbit, a cat, a dog, they don't need hope. They live and enjoy their existence without needing to have hope. But a human being has to have hope. We got to have some kind of hope. And when we don't have any hope, then what? Well, you see what I mean? So a depression is basically a lack of hope. And it also signifies having fallen from a higher way of living to a lower one, from a higher state of mind to a lower state of mind. Basically, having fallen from a heavenly state of mind to a hypnotic state of mind, from a calm state of mind to an emotional state of mind, from a carefree and blithe way of living like you had when you were a little tiny child to a reactive state of mind. So what happens is, look, when you are close to God, let's put it that way, when you're close to God, and that's the way we're supposed to be, we are supposed to live close to God and be close to Him and feel close to Him. That's the natural state of the human being. But what has happened is that it started when you were a child. People messed it up. They got to you. They caused you to react and to become upset and to become nervous and to be filled with doubt. And they did it by teasing you, taunting you, challenging you, tormenting you, rejecting you, putting you down, never being satisfied with what you see what I mean? And so they thereby caused you to fall away from your natural, free, unencumbered state of being that you had once upon a time when you were a little child. And you fell to a lower state of mind wherein you were separated from your Heavenly Father. Now, He was still there, but there was a separation. And as you grew older, the things that the joy, the natural hope and spontaneity, and the love for people and the love of principle and the wanting to do something of value in the world, to have a purpose, those things began to fade. You still were aware that they existed, but they faded, 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 faded as you fell into this lower state of mind. Now, this lower state of mind is the state in which things on the outside, people on the outside, affect you. And so instead of being affected by God, now you're affected by them and affected by what is in them. See, what is wrong with people that they would tease you and challenge you and pressure you and goad you and try to motivate you and try to manipulate you and try to get over on you and try to seduce you and try to get you to do something and trick you? What's wrong with people that they would do that? Something got into them. See, it was done to them, and when it happened to them, it got into them and it operated through them. So you have to see now that people around you are fallen. They also lost. What you lost, they have lost. And they're very clever at hiding it. And they seem so sure of themselves. And they, see, they survive by your falling. They survive by pressuring others to fall and making others doubt themselves. They can have confidence in themselves when you falter. They can have confidence in themselves when you fail and when you need them and their reassurances and their services. They have confidence in themselves when they keep you off balance and prevent you from seeing them the way they are. See? Well, that's the game that's played, but unfortunately, you've probably started to do that too. And you fool other people and you keep them off balance in one way or another. But let's get back to hope now. So hope is the antidote to depression. Hope. But hope springs from faith. And what is faith but abiding in this state which you can find, this mental state, this heavenly state, which you can find, and being in that state, abiding in that state, because it keeps out the negative. See, when you fall from that state, then you become subject to negativity. You become subject to the outside by way of emotions. And you try to struggle with what happens, and you resent what happens. But the resentment is another fall. The resentment is another fall. And there is a snowball effect. And before you know it, you're just more and more enmeshed in this sea of negativity. Now, I want you to understand that you have people saying positive things and people saying nice things and so on and so forth. But for the most part, it's just a compensation. And for a while, you can try to place your belief and your trust in the nice words and the nice slogans and the nice verses and in some nice person. And you think that person is the one that will make me happy or can and all that kind of stuff. So for a while, you can have a temporary hope in that. And they give you things to do, things to study. They give you goals. And then you follow those goals to study or to get a college degree or whatever it is. And those things keep you buoyed up. But do you understand that they're only temporary? They're only placebos. They're only compensations for the loss of that heavenly state of mind. So can you see then that the negativity, look, this negativity that we fall into, where does that negativity come from? Do you want to be negative? No. Did you think up those negative things? No. Where does it come from? It somehow is able to get inside when you have fallen from that higher state. So all I'm trying to say is that hope returns as soon as you retouch that heavenly state. And the negative things flee from you. They don't all flee immediately, but they start to flee. And you can watch them. When you are in this heavenly state of mind, you can watch the negative things. And yeah, they'll still try to get to you, but now you know the secret. Just watch them. Don't fall into them. Don't struggle with them. Don't give way to them. Don't believe them. Don't disbelieve them. Just keep your distance and watch them until they go away. And if they come back, and just watch them until they go away again. So the secret is to find this heavenly state. Now, where did I get the term heavenly state? I get it from the most beautiful translation of the Koboris manuscript. The Koboris manuscript is an Aramaic New Testament that was found, written in Aramaic and translated into English from the Yonan Codex Foundation. And so Christ talks about a heavenly state of being. Blessed are they. He lists all the different things. And he says, theirs is a heavenly estate or a heavenly state. So the whole purpose of my programs is to awaken you and to introduce you to a very simple little way of refining that heavenly state. The only thing is you have to want to. You have to be willing to face the truth. And you want to know the purpose for your existence. And then that's all you need to qualify. And I have a little meditation that helps you to find it. Actually does. It's very simple. And then you can refine the heavenly state. And it closes the door on the negativity.